Today, we'll continue on this topic of prayer. And more and more, if we truly believe that Jesus is coming again, you know, the Bible says that some in the last days, they would mock those who believe that Jesus is coming again. They will say, over these many, many years, you've been saying Jesus will come, Jesus will come. Where is he? The Bible said it, that people will say it. And today, people are saying it. They're saying, this Jesus that you've said will come from 2,000 years ago, where is he? But the Bible also says that at the time when he will come, it will be as though a thief came at night. Nobody ever prepares for, well, not like the kind of thieves I know in my country. In my country, those thieves, they will write a letter to you that we're coming. No, the African Scotland. They will write a letter to you that they are coming on this day and they will show up. But normal thieves, they don't write letters. They will show up on the day you are not expecting them to show up. And that is what the Bible says, that the time when Jesus Christ will come back, it will be as though a thief came in the night. It is a time when nobody is expecting. Because of that, Jesus Christ himself admonished us to watch and to pray. More than any other times we need in our lives, these are the times when we need to pray. I'm not saying it should be a want to pray. This is a need to pray. Because the need to pray is also because the time when Jesus Christ will come, there will be a progressive amount of persecution on Christians before he comes. How do I know? Anytime a savior is going to come, right from biblical time, right from the times of Moses, there's always a persecution upon those for whom the Lord has made the promise. In the time of Moses in Egypt, there was persecution upon the children of Israel, that every male child was wiped away, killed. But God saved the one that will be the deliverer of Israel from Egypt. The time that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come, Herod made a decree, every child of 2 years old and downwards could be wiped away, killed. Now, our Savior, who is coming to redeem all things, to judge the earth, is coming back. But guess what? Before he comes back, there's going to be a time of severe persecution of Christians within the world. In the Western world, there has been no persecution like this. We've seen it in other parts of the world, especially in places like Malaysia, in some of the Islamic world, in Arab countries. They know persecution. In northern Nigeria, they know persecution. In the Western world, we have not known persecution like that. But small by small, it is creeping in without us being aware of it. And there is something else which we're going to look at today. The Lord Jesus Christ said, at the time he comes back, will he still find faith on the earth? What does that mean? And that is something we're going to look at today by the grace of God. What I'm preaching about today is on the topic of prayer, faith, and diligence. That was one of the topics we prayed about this past Friday for all those who joined in the prayer meeting. Prayer, faith, and diligence. Actually, before I go on, just let me take one quick announcement. Fumito, Ifunaya, Jemima, where's Keziah? Oh, she helps. Okay, so she's already doing something. She's in Sunday school. Kiki, Who else? Mayo. All of you that are not doing something yet, I need you to join the Lord's army. I want to stop. It's not paid. There's no payments. I know you are students. You want to earn some pocket money, but this one, there's no pocket money. So, see that sister back there? Her name is Sister Buki. Okay. She shouldn't be the one handing out envelopes when we have able-bodied. You know, we don't have a lot of men. I've been praying for the men. Don't worry. They will come. They'll be born again. They will come. But it's historically, we've always had more women. Eh? And the men who come, they just hang back there. You see, that's the problem. So historically, we've always had more women in church than men. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they are more in tune with their spirits than men. But God will help us. So I want to say, that is what able-bodied man back there. Ibrahim, you and John also. Yeah, you are able-bodied men. So I want you to take ownership of something. You know, you guys, take ownership of something. Whether it's Auntie Buki, you give me the envelopes, I will be giving it. Or when we finish, I will get all of the younger ones to come. Let's vacuum. Let's clean up. I want you all to take ownership of something. Not just sit down Sunday after Sunday. You know, do something. Do something in the Lord's church. So in the Lord's army. And when you do it prayerfully. Because you don't know whether somebody you are giving the envelope is somebody who's going to be born again that Sunday. You know, so do it prayerfully. Okay? So I didn't call you sisters because I know that you're already helping in the announcements. So well done. Okay, let's go on. So let's open to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18. And John, thank you for helping me anchor the Bible study this past Wednesday. God bless you. Proud of you. Luke 18. And we're going to read about the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave of the persistent widow. Some people call it the parable of the persistent widow. Some people call it the parable of the unjust judge. I call it the parable of the persistent widow. And remember what we're talking about: prayer, diligence, and what? Faith. I will read from verse 1 to 8. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? This is a very deep parable, and I want us to break it down section by section, so we have a very good understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us through this parable. Have a question? Oh, this was a... Hallelujah! All right. The Spirit is moving. Amen. All right. Okay. So, what is a parable, Sister Ronki? What is a parable?
Is it what we call Owen in Yoruba?
So, break it down in English.
Is that what it is? Oh, that's a proverb. Okay. A parable is I wouldn't say it's not fiction. It's like telling it. It's like, what's that literature word when you liken something to something? Simile or something like that? Yeah, like an analogy.
A
It's a
parable is a
story. Well, because I don't think it really happens.
okay.
I would say it's fiction.
Okay.
Or
So
could
if
it
it
be
didn't really happen,
fiction?
it was fiction,
Well,
right?
okay, then it's
Okay,
fiction.
but sometimes it can be fiction, sometimes it
Sometimes it
can
can
be
be real.
real. Okay.
Yes.
So what is the essence of a parable?
Well, I know Jesus Christ said he said it because those who are hard, whose heart was hardened would not understand. But to those who know, I guess he was trying to teach them.
Yes, exactly. That is what a parable does. A
Teaching them.
parable is a story. Sometimes it can be real, sometimes it can be fictional, to bring
Portrait,
about
yes.
a truth. You know, there is a hidden meaning in the parable, but you are trying to bring about a truth through the story. Okay, thank you. So this was a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And the parable, this is one of the few parables, I don't know if there's any other, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave the reason for the parable before he gave the parable. Normally, in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ will give a parable. Many people will not understand. His disciples will come unto him and say, this parable that you gave, what does it mean? What are you trying to bring forth? And then he will tell them the meaning of the parable. But here, he told the meaning of the parable even before he told the parable. And he said the meaning of the parable is that what? So that everyone would, men, women would pray and not what? Give up. So that we would pray and we would not faint. So that we will pray and we will not faint. So that we will be persistent in prayer. That is the reason of this parable. And then he gave the parable, saying, there was in a city a judge. The judge did not fear God, and he did not regard anyone. Did not regard man. What does that mean? It means that he did not take any liking particularly to anyone. If you wanted him to like you, most likely you grease his palm with some greenbacks. Do we know that what that means? So that is the kind of judge he was. He was, and the Bible says he was an unjust judge. Normally, when you come to courts, what are you looking for in courts? Justice. Thank you. You are looking for justice, that what is due you might be given to you. What has been denied you that is rightfully yours might be given to you. And if you come to a court and you are denied justice, where else can you go? Eh? Yeah. Yeah. Appellate courts. So after appellate courts, if they deny you justice, where do you go? Supreme courts. Okay, if you go to Supreme courts, and they take bribe, they deny justice. Where do you go? Nowhere. There's nowhere else to go. Exactly, only to God. That is if you know God. There's nowhere else to go. Because before you come to courts, you will have gone to police first. Police will now bring their own case for you to courts, and you go through all that step. But if the judge and the Supreme Court is unjust, there's nowhere else to go. The prayer. There was a time in this country where the Supreme Court judges, They ruled, the Supreme Court judges in this country ruled that people who were slaves were not human. They were personal property of those who owned them. Where will those slaves go? There's nowhere to go. And so this is the background of the type of people that Jesus Christ was talking about. An unjust judge, at least if you fear God, you will still temper your judgments with some mercy. But first of all, he didn't fear God. And he didn't fear any man. He was unjust. So this kind of judge, there's this woman, something was rightfully due her. That is why she had to come to this judge. Most likely the judge might have taken bribe and denied the woman. But the woman came persisting. Those kind of judges, you know, you can't go to their houses because most likely they live in a gated community. So maybe she'll stand on the road. Judge, please, don't deny me justice. Help me. Help me. Go. Second day, she'll come again. Second week, she'll come again. Third month, she's still coming. Please, I beg. As we say in my country, Ndo, some women, they will kneel down. Please, what can I do? Help me. Help me. How do they say it in your language, please? I beg. Over and over, until that judge, with his own admission, that judge says, though I do not do what? I don't fear man. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. With his own admission. But he said that, lest this woman weary me, let me give her justice. Let me give her her due. Now, what was the reason? Was it an altruistic reason? Was it a righteous reason for which that judge gave the woman justice? No. It was to save his own skin. He got tired. This woman, same woman coming over and over and over again. In my own, so it says that this woman, she came over and over again. And now there was a comparison that the Lord Jesus Christ made okay, let's go to verse 7. Or let me start from verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? Now, some of us might think that, well, God is trying to contrast between himself and this unjust judge. But there's some ways in those writings, in that particular culture, that when you are trying to talk about a contrast, let me give you an example. One of the contrasts that we have in the Bible says that as far as the heaven is from the earth, so is my thoughts far from your thoughts. So what God is trying to say is not that you are looking at the sky, the distance between the sky and the earth. What God is trying to say is that if you can think about the most extreme ends of a thing, that is how my thought is from your thought. You can't even compare it in at all. You can't compare it in distance. This is the kind of wordplay that the Lord Jesus Christ is using here. That is from the extreme of wickedness to the extreme of goodness. The extreme of wickedness is a judge who fears not God and denies justice. And Jesus Christ is now comparing it, saying, do you not know that what your heavenly Father has for you is so far from what earthly judges will do to you. It's like night and day, heaven and earth. That if what you are expecting of God is that you need to beg God like this woman, oh, you don't know God yet. God is the one waiting to give justice to his children. But there's something that is the nature of God, which is what Christ put here, that though he bear long with them, though he bear long with them, what's your favorite game? Yes. Eh? Subway so far. Okay. Eh? Subway so far. Yeah, game. Suffer. You go to Subway and surf. Eh, it's like, oh, okay, okay. All right. All right. Ah, Rawali, we are going old, though. Eh, now you're throwing me under the bus. Eh? All right. So another generation, Subway so far. What's your own game? Eh? Your own manga, B? Call of Duty. All right. That one, I think I know that one. I don't know Subway so far. Okay. This is me. This is not the Bible. I believe that God loves the game hide and seek. I believe that God loves the game hide and seek. And the Bible says something. That the Lord, it's his own desire to hide a thing and the honor of kings to do what? To search it out, to seek it out. That is the though he bear long with them. God doesn't give things to us easily because he wants to know how hungry we are for that thing. It's not every time. Oh. There are sometimes, even before we ask, God has answered. Most times, the things that God give you, you did not even ask him. You woke up this morning. Did you take a breath? Did you have to pray about it? No. Brother Kunle, did you pray for God provide me breakfast this morning? Eh? You prayed this morning, no? But you had breakfast. Oh, you haven't had breakfast. Okay, that's why you will see that. But many things that God gives us, we don't pray. We don't pray that God, please make me healthy today. Help me to see today. But do you know that there are some people who pray that on a daily basis? God, please, that this pain might just reduce today. So many things God gives us, we don't ask for. But there are a few things God will have us pray and have us, he will bear long with us. Because they don't come easily. One of those things was a child for Abraham. God promised him. He was praying, Lord, this promise that you promised, it's been quite a while, though. You haven't done it yet. You are the one that promised. At a point, Abraham said, okay, God, you know, since this thing hasn't happened, the servant in my house, let the servant bring forth the thing. God said, no, my promise will not come through your servant. Later on, the wife, seeing her own condition, as they say, the time is going, said, my honey, not you. I'm talking about Abraham. Abraham said, what kind of word that would Sarah used for Abraham. My Lord. Okay. That is not romantic. But okay, let's take it as my Lord. My Lord, this your God, the promise he had promised us, is getting to nearly 20 years now. Nothing has happened. Look, my servants. Yeah, give a child through my servants. That child will be mine also. Abraham said, well, happy wife, happy life. Let's get on with it. And till today, that happy wife, happy life is a problem. So God said, my promise, though you have done what you have done, I will bless that child. I will not kill the child. That will be blessed, but that is not the son of promise. And when everything was, Abraham had no hope. When there was no hope of anything being done, God came. God came. Now, let me show you the difference between Abraham and us. Till the year before God came, Abraham was still talking to God about it. Abraham was still reminding God about it. But we, after a year or two, what do? We say, well, it's not God's will, and we forget about it. We forget about it. There are times when God wants to bear long with his children. But what he wants us to do is to continue in prayer without ceasing. If we know it is God's will for us. Because I've said this before and I'll say it again. And this is the journey we all will journey in this thing called prayer until we get there. Many of us pray for things we want from God. But not many of us know how to know whether God has said, this is my will for you, my desire for you, or no, this is not what I will for you. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we can get to the place where we know what God's will is concerning what we are praying about. That when God says, yes, it's my will for you, you now can begin to believe that what God has answered, it will come to pass. And that is one place where we have not reached yet. And I'm praying as a church that God will bring us there, that each and every one of us will be able to know before the thing comes what God's desire and answer is. You are praying for a job. You have two jobs. You will know God says, this is the one you should go for. God can do it. Many times God has done it in my life. And I didn't say every time. I said many times. And we can all get to that place. You hear me when I say that, you know, there's something I heard of older saints when they say they pray through till God tells them what his will is concerning, they would know. Whether it's through somebody coming to tell them, whether it's through the word of God, that God gives them a confirmation, whether it's through just in their hearts, there's a knowing. They have a peace about it that this is it. We can all come to that place. Now, when you get to that place where you begin to know that this is what God's will is, believe me, that is where you need to hold on to God and never let go. No matter how long it takes. The reason why many of us do not get to that place of praying ceaselessly is that we don't know. And so we give up. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's another place for us to reach in prayer where we know before we see. Or where we see with spiritual eyes. Yet our physical eyes have not seen it yet. The Bible talks in the book of Hebrews that there are some people who are looking for a city whose words, whose architect and builder was God. Did any of them see it with their physical eyes? Did they still believe God or not? Yes. Yes, they still believe God. And I believe that they saw something spiritually, not with physical eyes. Because for them to know that the architect of this city I'm looking at and the builder is God, they must have known that this is not no ordinary city. Normally, when you build a foundation, you build a foundation for what? For a house. In Hebrews, it says it was a city that had a foundation, not a house. The whole city had one foundation. If you go to Revelations, it tells us about the foundation of the city, the layers of the foundation of that city. That was what some of them saw with their spiritual eyes. Brothers and sisters, we can get there where we begin to see with more than our physical eyes, where God shows us a thing and we know that this is God's will for it, and we believe God until it comes to happen. There are some prayers I have been praying, though God has not showed me yet, but I know it is the will of God. Some of the young men in this place, that they will be born again. It's already happening. Because when, you know, a few years ago in this church, we were praying that God should give us souls. There was a time when we got quiet about it. And then we began to pray about it again. There was a time we were praying for revival. Then we got quiet about it. Now we begin to pray about it again. So there are some times when it hasn't happened, you might grow tired and think it will never happen. But when God, you lay a hold on God, in the book of Isaiah 44 verse 3, is God who says that I will pour water upon the thirsty soul. The question is, are we thirsty? A few weeks ago, I said, are we hungry? That is, when God is bearing long with you, it is God he wants to know, how much do you want it? How much do you want it? Do you want it like Abraham, no matter how long it takes? Once God has said it, you will keep on holding on to him. God, this is what you promised. This is what you promised. Because you know that if you know and God has promised and you let go, then you've lost faith. So when it comes to prayer, the answer that God gives through faith, with the persistence and diligence like this we do, is what brings the answer physically. Sister Folake says that we cannot have miracles without expectations. It is true. It's true. The question is that for how long can you hold on to God that expectation God will answer it? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that you kneel down and you never go to work for the next 1 week and you just on your knees, you're there. That is not what praying without ceasing means. Praying without ceasing is that thing you are praying about, you are not forgetting it. You are constantly bringing it before God. God, this is what you promised. This is what you promised. This is what you promised. I remember that story of the two ladies that we read about who are laying a hold on God until the revival nearly came. And then the men joined them. And the men made a covenant with themselves that they, just as the women covenanted, that twice a week we're going to meet with God from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. praying. Those men also joined. And when those men joined and they began to tarry before God, there was one of the men who laid a hold on God. God, did you not promise this? Did you not promise this? Oh, that we might have women, men and women who know God that way again. Who can say to God, Lord, did you not promise this? Did you not put it in your word? There's a place where God wants us to stand, just as Elijah said. He stood before Ahab because he had been standing before God. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord from night till daybreak, until the promise he wanted from God, he laid a hold on him. He did not let go. You see, there's a place in the things of the Spirit where you hold on to God and you will not let go until God gives you an answer to something he has promised you. May we know God that way again, brothers and sisters. What is Sufi and Takan in English? This is not a disco type of Christianity. This is not a Mark Register type of Christianity. This is a Christianity where you pray and you lay a hold on God. And God wants people like that to seek him. Romans 12:12. Can we read it together? Please, can you bring it up? Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. Now, if you have some time, if you want to read that Romans 12, it's talking about the Christian character. So, here in 12, he says, part of what a Christian will do is to rejoice in hope, to be patient in what? In tribulation. To continue, this is NKJV. NKJV says, to continue steadfastly in prayer. Some versions of the Bible says to be instant in prayer. It means the same thing. Continuing steadfastly. The book of James says that the effective prayer of the righteous avails much. To be steadfast, to be constant. Another version says to be faithful in prayer. Another version says to be devoted in prayer. Another version says to be persistent in prayer. It is all the same thing. When you pray without ceasing, this is what it means. You are devoted. You are persistent. What we talked about before. You don't pray about it and somebody asks you, what are you praying about? Sorry, I forgot what I went to pray about. If you forget what you pray, how can God take you seriously? You come to a judge and you say to the judge, sorry, I've forgotten what I was going to ask. Let me go back. This woman, she knew what she wanted. She was a woman in infirmity. She didn't have any power of her own. She didn't have any power of her own. That is why she needed a judge. And this is the kind of people God is looking for. If you have power of yourself, if you have influence of people to help you to do it, you don't need God. Sometimes you come to the place where you weep before the presence of God for something God has promised that hasn't come to pass yet. If you have family members that you've been praying about, that you've been weeping for their salvation, don't give up. It is the will of God. It is the will of God. If you have children who are causing you heartache, and you've been bringing them before God, don't give up. It's the will of God. Don't give up. Because that diligence, that persistence, that unceasing attitude is something you have to develop in prayer for you to bring about God's will for your life. Now, there's another aspect of why you have to be unceasing in prayer. The devil doesn't want you to receive anything from God. Remember when Daniel, in the book of Daniel, when he learned that, look, this is what the books that had been written, 70 years were they to be in captivity. After 70 years, God said he will bring them back. Did God just say, okay, 70 years, let's go? No. Daniel had to dedicate himself to now start seeking God, that what God had promised in writing, God, please, this is what you said. You have to do it. And for 21 days, no answer came to Daniel. But do you know something? When the angel brought the answer, the angel said that the moment you began to pray, God had answered. But this prince of Persia there was an analogy of the devil, of Satan, of the princes of the air. This prince of Persia, he blocked the answer from coming. Now, when the answer didn't come in day one, did Daniel stop? No. No, he was still in the place of prayer, unceasingly, until that angel brought the answer. Devil will not let his go of his captives easily. Brothers and sisters, what I'm talking about, in these last days, we are going to need to know how to pray. We are going to need to know how to pray. Because eventually, there's going to be two types of Christians. Christians that have to live by faith because of persecution. And Christians that are just plain Christianity. That if their life were dependent on it, they will deny Christ easily. Easily. Those are going to be the only two types of Christians. That if they say they will kill you, you either say, Lord, this is what I have been seeking you. If there's no way out, if you can escape, okay, Lord, please, let me come home to see you. Accept me. This is it. Or, deny Christ. Where do I sign the paper? I can't lose my life. Yes, Sister Jackie.
And the rabbi said, who is the imam in this mosque? The imam denied. Because if you they will kill you. So the imam said, I'm not the one.
Nobody wants to die.
No, it's happening now, but I mean, if you want to die for Christ, you should have not denied.
You see, it's God. It's only God that grants the grace. It's not that people who don't deny Christ are not afraid. It's not that they don't feel pain. But it's God that grants the grace. Peter, who said, let me be crucified upside down. I'm unworthy to be crucified like my Savior. What's the name of the person who printed the Bible to English? Tyndale, who was burnt at the stake, who told his accomplice, look, let's sing praises. We're going to meet our master. And he was singing praises as he was being roasted alive. It's not that they don't feel pain, but there's a grace that God gives. But Sister Jackie, let me tell you something, my sister. When you see a place that you cannot compare with anywhere on earth, and you know that this is where you are going, then you can say, Lord, bring me home. And these are the spiritual eyes that I'm praying that God will give us. Martin Luther said something. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, which is what many of us think it is. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold on God's willingness. Let me say that again. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying a hold on God's willingness. It's the will of God that his children prosper. It's the will of God that his children do well. No father will see his child in a cancer ward and be rejoicing. Our Heavenly Father is a real father. So when things are going badly for his children, it doesn't please him. But learn something. God doesn't see us in this world as one part and heaven as another. It's one continuum. Whether you are on earth or you are in heaven, you are still in his presence. You are still in his presence. And many of us, not everybody is going to live to 100. There was a book we gave out some time ago that young Liberian boy who died at the age of 20. What's his name? Samuel Morris. When what God has sent him to earth was done, God took him home. He didn't stay one day extra. Not all of us will live to 100. Everybody has an appointed time. But may we, when that time comes, accomplish what God has sent us here to do. And then to await a reward for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Diligence is tied to faith, and faith is tied to diligence. Diligence is tied to faith, and faith is tied to diligence. Because many times, faith does not produce results in one day. Because many times, God will be along with us till what we're asking of him comes. I'll say it again, brothers and sisters. It's God's will that his children do well. You are not asking God, give me a bigger house. You are not asking God, kill my enemies. You are not asking God, give me a bigger car. You are asking God, save my children. You are asking God, heal my family. You are asking God, deliver. You are asking God, it's my desire to get married. Grant me a spouse. God says, this is my will for you. Nobody can take it from you. You have to, with diligence, appropriate by faith what God has promised you. Now, if you are sick, true, it is not everybody that is healed. Some, through sickness, they will go home. My prayer for all of us is that in health, may God take us when his time is near. But it doesn't happen like that for everybody. But may we not deny him. May we not deny him. Because I have had friends who started out as Christians, but because of something that happened in their life, there was one particular one, you know, when I was at Freddie Mac that I used to have these long discussions with to learn that later on what happened in his life for him to say that he was now an atheist was as a young child, his mother was ill. He prayed and that mother never got well. I think the mother died. And from then, he did not believe that there's no God. And it does happen like that. But may we not deny God for any reason. Faith, diligence. Let's hold on. Let's pray with diligence, without ceasing. You know, those words. Pray constant. Pray faithfully. Be devoted to prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Eventually, what God has promised will come to pass. And also, let us learn to ask God, if you don't have it, Lord, say, Father, Brother Bumi talked about this thing, that we can get answers to prayer before we see it. I want to experience it with you. I want to know what it's like. Also, if you don't know how to, if all you can pray is, Lord, how do these children pray? Let me lay my head down to sleep. My soul to keep. If by tomorrow I'm no more, let me be in heaven with you. Abi, something like that. If that is all you can pray, start there. From there, you will go to, Lord, please bless our church. All those who are not born again, save them. From there, Lord, I'm going with them for this winter outreach. Help us to meet a soul that we can touch. You know, you graduate in prayer from baby prayers to young man, young woman prayer to old man, old woman prayer. So it doesn't all come in one day. It takes practice. It takes use. It takes diligence. It takes time. But eventually you'll get there. Like Paul, he will pray. You will see that as you grow older in these things of prayer, what you will pray more of is the first half of the Lord's Prayer. Because you begin to see more and more that second half, God, I don't ask for it, but God does it. Do you know why? When you pray what God wants to be done, God will answer what you need to be done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you as you are teaching us on this journey of prayer. Thank you for the privilege, indeed the privilege you have given each and every one of us. Lord, it's not about what strength we have. It's not about how well we can articulate it. It's not about how many words we can use. But you see our hearts. You see our hearts. You know the hearts that are hungry. You know the hearts that are thirsty. And Lord, I remind you of your word. You said that you will pour water upon the thirsty ground. You said, you will pour water on those who are thirsting for you. So, Lord, I pray, give us a thirst within our hearts, O Lord, the thirst that you delight to pour water on. Give us a hunger that only you can feel. We pray that, O Lord, that you will pour grace upon our prayer lives, that we will grow in this privilege that you have given us, O Lord. Give us spiritual eyes that can see beyond the physical. We pray this, O Lord, that each and every one of us in this place revive our hearts, that we will mature in the place of prayer. Father, my greatest prayer is that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever your will is, reveal to us, O Lord. That we know that you will not deny. Reveal it unto us, O Lord, so that our hearts, the prayers engendered within our hearts, what our desire is, everything will now be according to your will. Father, help us to grow. I dare pray again, Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. We all rise as we say the grace.